They'll expect me. Don't hold against me. If I wear you out, I love that song, because just any day now he is coming.
Yeah, he is.
Right. Just any day now we are leaving.
That's right.
Just any day now, like Brother Mitchell said, we're getting out. Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
Well, this song does have some true meaning. Yes, just any day, and you know, a lot of people, I wish they'd open up their eyes and see that, but we just have to pray for them. Let's see. Each time I stop and take the time to look around me,
I'll see. Be like the school bus pulling up the house. We'll all get on board. Hallelujah. Make our exodus out of this Egypt down here. What a day that it will be. But I don't know about you all, but I about had it. I'm telling you, I'm like John in Revelation said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I look around all the things. They's talking about the signs of His coming. Well, I look around and I see earthquakes. I see the I don't know if I can say this right or not, the coronavirus. A coronavirus. That one where they had to deploy 1,400 military doctors to try to help out with this virus. I think about 900 people have died or something like that. I see that Middle East peace plan making a two-state solution. But to be honest with you, all of this is falling right in the Bible. Those pestilences and those earthquakes are mentioned in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7 through 8. And he talks about it being the beginning of sorrows. And that Middle East peace plan, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, "For when they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction upon them, and they shall not escape." Thank God for verse 9. "For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." I'm glad, praise God, they might have a rough day, but it's going to be a good day for us. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
All right. Hallelujah. Thank you for the good singing. I thought about when Brother Jerry sung that song, "I'll Fly Away." I believe it's Psalms chapter 90, verse 10. "The days of our years are 70, which is 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, then we're cut off and we do what? We fly away."
Right.
One day, praise God, we'll either fly away together or we'll fly away one by one. But amen, this ain't my home.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm just going to borrow a 6x6 plot to bury what's left of this carcass that you're looking at this morning. Amen. Open up your Bible this morning. We're going to read 7 verses out of Genesis chapter 2. We're going to reflect on a lot of Bible this morning. I know this Groundhog Day. I know this Super Bowl Sunday. And I don't think that's the reason we're low in number this morning. But I'd say a lot of churches this morning are probably low in number. I know this is February the 2nd, 2020. And on February the 20th, 2020, old Brother Eddie be 66 years old. I never imagined going that far, but unfortunately I'm still here. But anyway, this month I'll be 66 years old. I never dreamed I could get that old. To some of y'all, that's young. But to Landon back there, it's old, anybody. Yeah. Amen. I told him one day he'd grow up. I guess he thought, "I don't want to get that old." I thought the same thing, buddy, when I was your age. But on this Super Bowl Sunday, just with sports in mind, Eric Linden, he was declared the world's fastest man. No one could outrun him. He was literally, his nickname was Superman. No one could compete with him. And he got an opportunity to run for a gold medal with a $1 million endorsement, been set for life. Unfortunately, they scheduled the event on a Sunday, and he refused to run. And they said, "You mean to tell me you're going to turn down a gold medal and a $1 million endorsement?" He said, "My God, means more to me than that." And later on, he got an opportunity to run a 400, I guess it's 400 meter or yard race, and he won it and got the gold medal, got the $1 million endorsement. They made a movie about him called Chariots of Fire. I did not know that. I want to watch that movie now. I'd heard of the movie. I just didn't know it was about this young man right here. But his name was Eric Linden. And Jackie Robertson, he was the first Afro-American professional baseball player. And he got his opportunity actually by refusing to play baseball on a Sunday. And one of the scouts coming soliciting and said, "You know, it's going to be a rough road, but I'd like to recruit you to be a player for our team." And they actually got the Bible up, read Matthew chapter 5 on the Beatitudes, and he said it's going to be rough. But last Sunday I preached about bad news, and when I got home, as soon as I walked in the door, of course we leave our TV on Fox News, I think it'd be a sin to have it on anything else, but as soon as I opened the door, it was coming across Fox News that Kobe Bryant had just been killed in a helicopter accident. And as sad as it was, his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, was also killed with him. He was a 41-year-old NBA legend. He was retired from the Lakers. And it was a sad day that last Sunday was, me preaching about bad news and then walking in the house and get that news. They said that he was going to a baseball game that morning. They left out at 9 o'clock and had his young daughter with him. I wish they could have said he was on his way to church to make some kind of speech or something. Anything but go to basketball on the Lord's Day. Yeah. And I said, talking about the times we're living in, 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about in the last days men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4. Okay, let's get with our message. Genesis chapter 2. We'll read 7 verses here. Thus were the heavens, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. There was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And we'll stop on verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I want to stop our reading right there, and I'm preaching this morning. I kind of talked to Brother Donnie yesterday about this message. I told him I was wanting to preach on some things that God gave Adam, and I felt led this morning to go in that direction. We're going to ask for God's blessing, God's help. Father, we thank You for the inspired, infallible Word of God that declares such great tidings of Your manifested love to mankind. Lord, help us this morning. I truly, Lord, would like to say that I don't have a clue of just how much You love lost humanity. The angels desire to look into it. And Lord, we understand somewhat of it. We've been saved. We've been redeemed. But I am so glad that You love us. Lord, that You gave Yourself for us. Lord, You've done everything, Lord, to give a man heaven on earth. And the biggest problem You've had has been with man. Would You help us to preach this morning? Give us clarity of thought. Give us, Father, the utterance, the voice, Lord, to tell this message. And we'll give You praise and glory, and we'll thank You for it. Open our eyes, our understanding, that we may know and understand, Lord, Your precious will towards mankind. In Jesus' name, we'll ask it. Amen. Amen. I was talking to Brother Donnie yesterday, and I went over some things with him that God gave Adam, and he'll get them secondhand, you'll get them firsthand. But I'm preaching today on what God gave Adam. Verse number 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Before God gave Adam the breath of life, God gave Adam a body.
Yeah.
You know what? God gave us a body.
Yes, He did.
Because see, before Adam become a living soul, fellas, he had to have somewhere to live. And we live and move and have our being all because of God.
That's right.
You know, my own mind, the clarity of thought is a product of God. He gave us intellect.
Man.
He gave us enough sense to get saved.
Yeah.
He gave us enough sense to repent.
That's
and
right.
Receive Him,
man,
as Lord and Savior. See, man was defeated in the garden, and Jesus went to Calvary and won it back. But He said, even in that, we have to come to Him that we might have in John 5:40. But anyway, I want to preach on God gave man a body.
Right.
I'll be on this one a little while. You know, I was kind of hoping to be born like Charlton Heston or Kirk Douglas, you know, Clark Gable, something like that. And I looked in the mirror and that's a far cry from any of them. This old mug I had to put up with it. This mug, brother, I've had to put up with it 66 years.
Yeah.
I tried to shave this morning. I may have worse than trying to bush hog a field that drove up with thistles. I tried everything. It's still in rough, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But, you know, this body, God gave us a good body. And I was kind of hoping to have that physique of Charles Atlas or Arnold Schwarzenegger or something like that. Man, just a frail man. It's all I've ever been all my life.
Amen.
But you know what? I've been what God wanted me to be. I've been, Brother Mitchell, what God made me to be.
What He wants you to
do. That's what we need to do. Just be what God made you to be.
Amen.
Don't be something you're not.
That's your mind.
But you know what? That body that God made Adam, it was a good body. Matter of fact, he lived to be 900 some years old. That was a pretty good body. I really don't want to live that long. But I'm glad God gave me a good enough body that I've lived in this body now for 66 years.
Yeah. Amen.
You got to have somewhere to live.
Yes, you
have. And my walk with Christ, you know, Jesus was a man acquainted with sorrows. I've seen a lot of sorrow. I've seen people that wanted to live. They'd abused their body.
That's right.
They made some bad decisions.
Yeah, that's right.
And they wanted to live. It didn't been too long. Me and Brother Ed visited a young man that wanted to live.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors couldn't help him. And he had the will to live,
right,
but nowhere to live.
Right.
You abuse that body. I know I do a lot of preaching. I preach in churches here. But I preach also to people at work. I preach to my family. I preach to my friends. Don't do that. And they look at me like a calf looking at a new gate.
Yeah.
I said, because that'd come with a price.
Yeah,
my mom and my dad, they both smoked. Y'all heard of what? Chain smoke, they lit one off of like pale males. I remember going down there and buying them for them by the carton. And they'd smoke them pale males one after another and call and blame God. I mean, God got to blame everything in our house. But you know what? That comes with a price.
Mm-hmm.
I buried both of them. Now, to my amazement, I wanted to be different. I didn't never smoke. I smoked nothing. Never did. I mean, I even got bubble gum cigars when the kids were born and passed them out. But both my kids smoke. It's crazy. I wanted to be different.
Amen.
I didn't smoke. Every day they wanted to be different. So they both smoke. But anyway, I tell them, I say, that's going to come with a price.
Yes,
the Bible talks about sin. In the end, the Bible said it biteth like an adder and stingeth. Maybe bite like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. I guess that's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of that body.
Yeah.
Don't worship it.
Right.
But just realize this. Got to have somewhere to live.
Right.
And ain't nothing worse than not having nowhere to live and you want to live.
Amen.
And I've seen it in their eyes. And you know, the conclusion, you read about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Next verse, verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I just want you to know the conclusion of the matter is that if you abuse your body, there will be a payday.
Right. You're paid for it.
There are some people, I believe that I hope I'm right on this, but Sharon's step-grandson, did he overdose? Is that right?
No.
Okay, he didn't. Someone told me about someone about his same age that overdosed on drugs. And I can't remember who it was. They was 30-something years old. That's, you know, that's when you get your body to where it gives up. It can't take no more abuse.
Right.
And the body gives way. And the soul has a desire to live. Look, nobody in their right mind wants to die. But even in your right mind, if you abuse your body, you'll find out one day you'll have a will to live and you'll not have anywhere to live.
That's right.
I was a drunk for most of my life. And I tell you what, I know I will. pay the price for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I've been washed. I've been sanctified. I've been cleansed. I've been saved. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, you abuse your body, it'll come with a price.
Yes, it will.
That's right.
God gave Adam a body. He needed somewhere to live, fellas.
Right.
Then God gave him a breath.
Right.
They get you up now, spank it behind.
Yes, right.
Damn, they can get you to squall out. That breath of life's coming pretty quick. Rick said he knew he was in trouble. First thing he did, jerk up, bust your behind. He knew he was in trouble. But you see, the world, they don't really think about the long term. They just want to live for today. What is it? Michael Jackson paid a doctor money to put him to sleep. And then he didn't get the right doctor. He wasn't an anesthesiologist. He's a doctor. And he gave him too much chloroform and he didn't wake up.
Right.
I'm just telling you, buddy.
Amen.
He might not have wanted to die, but he did die. And a lot of people have died just because they didn't think about the fact of their body. Hey, look, like I said, I don't worship my body. But, you know, eat right. Do right. Me and Brother Donnie, we got some exercise yesterday. Out walking these fields looking for Indian rocks. You'd think we'd have better use of time, but we enjoy that. And you know, we found a few broke ones, got a little enjoyment out of that. But you know, get out, walk a little. Paul did say body exercise profits a little.
Right.
But he said, exercise thyself, brother, unto godliness. Godly exercise profits much. Well, we would do better to exercise ourselves both ways. Do a little physical exercise. Do a little spiritual exercise too. But God gave Adam a body. And God gave Adam a breath. And before man came a living soul, he needed somewhere to live. And God gave Adam a body made of dust. Matter of fact, God, when he did sin, God said, from dust thou was taken and from dust thou shalt return. But that breath of life that God breathed into the nostrils of Adam, the breath of life, Job 12, verse 10 says, in whose hand is the breath of all mankind? And Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, as Daniel's rebuking, I'll spit his name out here in a minute. Belshazzar, I believe that's right. As Daniel's rebuking Belshazzar, he said, you knew all this. You know, people know better than still sin. Well, that's where Belshazzar was.
Right.
See, he got the mocking God because he's king. And he told him to go get the vessels of gold out of the house of God and his concubines and his lords could drink wine out of those vessels. And a finger started writing on the wall. And buddy, he got in a big way, shaking, calling for help. And someone finally said, if you want help, you better go get the man of God, Daniel. Well, when Daniel showed up, he said, you didn't have any regard for the God whose hand thy breath is. He had regard to those little gods of gold and silver.
Right.
But he had no regard to the God that inhabits eternity. Psalm 104, verse 29, talks about God takes away their breath and they die and return to their dust. I tell you, buddy, God has a whole lot to do with breath.
Right. That's right.
I've seen people like a fish out of the water, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
Trying to get a breath.
Amen.
See, get the breath knocked out of them. I've had the breath knocked out of me. I fell out of a tree one time deer hunting. I don't know how I survived it. By the grace of God, mercy, I guess. But I'm trying to get my breath. Baby comes down there and here I am. You all right? I'm trying to get my breath. You know, it's killed me. I can't get my breath.
Right.
He said, you know, say something, say something. I said, knock your breath out of me. And he cussed me about, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. He scared the you know what out of me. I couldn't help it. I fell out of a tree.
Right. Amen.
I stepped back and there wasn't no stand there. And I had a bowl full drawn and I'm looking. And that's a long ways down. And I throw that bowl as far as I could throw it as I'm falling. I looked over at that deer said, he said, I've seen everything. They shot bullets in them, shot everything. Now they're throwing people at me. And as embarrassing as that was, I still remember it knocked all the breath out of me. It took me forever to get my breath back. And not only Psalms 104, Verse 29 talks about thou takest away their breath and they die. But verse 30 says thou renewest the face of the earth. You know, this year is the Save the Earth year. That's going to be a big platform in politics.
Oh, yeah, right. Well,
these know-it-alls.
Right.
God winks at them, Mitchell.
That's right.
Commands them, repent. They won't do it, but he winks at them and says, you stupid. You don't have any, at least right. have enough sense to repent. But in Acts 17, verse 30, God repents. I mean, God winks at the ignorance of this world, commands all men everywhere to repent. They won't do it, but he commands them to.
Right.
I'll tell you what, this world, the Bible says, the world by knowledge knew, the world by wisdom knew not God. And the wisdom of this world is foolish with God. And you think man would seek the help of God, but somehow man thinks that he can help God with this earth. I just read about the creation of heaven and earth. God created it, and he made it to be, he formed it to be inhabited. You find that in Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 18, that God formed the earth, he formed it to be inhabited, and he put mankind on it. I got gravity, I got air, yeah. I got water, I got heat, I got cold,
yeah.
I got winter, I got the seasons, I got everything I need.
That's right.
Man still, man. Somehow they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time, and cold, and heat, and summer, and winter, and day, and night shall not cease. Forget about global warming.
That's right.
That's right.
You couldn't do nothing about it if there was such a thing.
Right.
But oh, how that fake news. I'll tell you one thing about fake news. It's probably going to be needed when God takes us out of here, Mitchell.
That's right.
When they go looking for us, they say, what happened to Mitchell? What happened to Phyllis? What happened to Joanne? What happened to Reed? What happened to Donnie? What happened to Ann? What happened to Karen? What happened back here to Jerry and Callan and Tammy and Elena? What happened? Elena. They're going to call some kind of fake news. You know what they're going to say, Jerry? They're going to say a spaceship.
Yeah.
A spaceship's landing. Took them off. Everybody needs to take this mark so you won't get so we'll know you ain't one of them aliens. And they'll run around with a big 666 on their forehead and they won't have a clue. They're, you know what they're doing? They're fulfilling the word of God and they won't even know they're doing it.
That's
they don't
true.
Know what the Bible will on their nose. I preach my way in my face. I can tell them, baby, you better get ready. He's a coming and ready or not. You'll either leave or you'll be left behind.
That's right.
But if you're left behind, I talked about face news. Fake news, the Bible said God will give them over to strong delusion, and then what? Believe a lie.
Believe a lie. Right.
That's
right.
What fake news is.
Yeah.
It's a lie. Portrayed as truth. They'll believe a lie, and they'll all be damned. But God said, I got this earth. I'll renew the face of the earth. Have you ever seen a piece of ground when man gave up on it and left it alone? God makes it so beautiful. You ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's amazing. It takes care of itself.
That's right.
You drive by, it's beautiful. Man, it does. Took all the trees off. He's timbered it. He's maybe mined the coal out of whatever, and he's done with it. God covered the come out of dispute. He renews the face of the earth. He's in charge of it. He made it.
Yeah.
Formed it to be inhabited. It's a good place to be. I kind of like it down here. I was teaching Sunday school one time. I was teaching 10-year-olds. About Landon's age back there. I was teaching 10-year-olds and one of them raised her hand and said, Brother Eddie, how do we know we're going to like it when we get to heaven? I have to admit, that was quite a question for someone who hadn't been saved all that long. God gave me enough sense to answer it. And I said, well, Brent Spillman's a pastor of Little Baptist Church out there on Highway 90 now, but he was in my Sunday school class then. And I said, Brent, you like it here? Yeah, I like it here, Brooke. Hey, far better there, buddy.
That's right.
He was content with that. Far better. Now, we ain't been there yet, but when we get there, we'll say, boy, God was right. It's far better. Man, we like it here. Don't get me wrong. God formed the earth, formed it to be inhabited. He put man on it. It's a good place to be, but there's a better place.
That's right.
God wants us to come live with him.
That's right.
Amen. All right. God gave Adam a body. God gave Adam a breath. Not only that, God gave Adam a bride.
Yeah.
You see, you look over here, verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a help meet for him. I never seen a man yet didn't need help. I'm glad God had help in mind for us.
Yeah.
But anyway, verse 19, God said, and out of the I want to read this for the sake of Adam just to show you he wasn't stupid. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every living beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And we'll get on that here in a minute. I just want you to know Adam wasn't stupid. He wasn't a knuckle dragger. We've kind of got this backwards. We're going the wrong way. Adam was smart. We're getting dumber.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I ain't kidding you, buddy. We'd be better off to go back when man had sense enough to believe God, had sense enough to live for God and fear God. And I tell you what, buddy, they couldn't go wrong with God. But today, boy, they're opposing anything to do with God, and they don't realize they're making their own bed. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. I wonder where man figured out he could put people to sleep, do surgery on them. I wonder how man figured out he could get an anesthesiologist and put somebody to sleep and cut them open, look like they'd been gutted, and go in there and take a bunch out, and maybe put something in and sew them back up, and somehow or another man would recover, and maybe some cases better off. Maybe not always. You pay whether good or not. You sign a waiver and accept the results of it. But look here. God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. That's how man figured it out. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. My pastor said God took spare parts out of Adam and made the world's first loudspeaker. That's what he said. That ain't what Brother Eddie said. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. I just want you to know God gave Adam a bride, a help meant for him. There wasn't no gender confusion here. I want you to know, buddy, you can back up. You look over in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27. You'll see right here, as God tells about His creation. Now what we're doing, this right here, what we read in number 2, that's the creative act of Genesis 1 described. But when God created them, He created them in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Genesis 1:27. Now chapter 2 is describing the very creation, what we're reading about, preaching about today. I want you to know there wasn't no gender confusion here. You look at verse number 24. Therefore shall a man... Boy, it's good to go to the bathroom. They still got the image of a man on the door.
Right.
Ain't no question mark in our neck of the woods anyway. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Hey, he'll have her to hold and to cherish all the days of his life till death do him part. Verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That's part of the marriage.
Right.
I don't want my wife to be that way around nobody else. And she knows that I don't want to be that way around nobody else neither. That's what a marriage is all about.
Right.
You have each other to hold and to cherish. And you know what? That's the beauty of the marriage. But I'll tell you what, there wasn't no gender confusion. It wasn't Adam and Steve. It wasn't Madam and Eve. I want you to know, buddy, God made a help meet for that man. Amen.
Yeah,
I did.
Amen.
The Bible said in Proverbs 31:12, she'll do him good all the days of her life. Boy, we underestimate the wife. We really do.
We do. Amen.
We really do. Brother Ed, my wife's put up with me for 44 years.
Yeah. Lord, yes.
Man, I know Eddie way better than any of y'all. And there ain't no way I'd put up with him. I don't know how she done it. I'm surprised she hadn't killed me. Somebody done she put up with me, Joanne.
Amen.
Love me in spite of myself. probably prayed a million prayers. God help him. He's dumb in a box of rocks. I couldn't argue with that statement for nothing.
Amen.
But you know what? Should do him good.
That's right.
All the days of his life. Nobody's going to live forever down here.
No, no.
God saw a lonely man, said, I'm going to try to help him.
That's right.
I'm going to give him pride. And I'm going to try to help him. 22 of us, maybe he'll make it. Every man I've ever met, Bria, they needed help. They so full, right. Some of them so full of themselves, I couldn't stand to be around them.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, some of the best advice I ever got my wife, Jerry, from my wife.
Amen.
She gives good advice. I don't always take it, but she gives good advice.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah, they do.
Some of the best advice I've ever got. I wouldn't want to know it for nothing, but she's giving me some of the best advice I've ever got. If I ever going to listen to anybody, it's going to be her. She'll do him good all the days of her life. That movie, Fireproof, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but in that movie, it portrays a man desperate to get his wife back. And man, he does everything. It just seems like everything he does, it just fails. And one of the best parts in that movie, to me, is when she's trying to get that ring back on her finger.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Oh, I like that. She's trying to find that wedding ring. Brother Mitchell, she's digging, she's throwing stuff, and she pulls that drawer out. There it is. Phyllis, she pulls that ring out. She's trying to get that ring on that finger. She's crying so much she can't even get it on her finger. And then she runs to him and realizes all he's done for her. And the world lied to her and said he's just like all the rest of them, and maybe he was, I don't know. But he was trying hard. He made the mistakes. Don't get me wrong. Men make mistakes. You women?
Yeah, man.
Tilt your ear up a little bit. They're going to make the mistakes. But you're supposed to be the help.
That's right.
Don't crucify him. Just say, well, it'll be all right. We'll get another one. We'll fix it. We'll get through this. My wife, she was there when we buried our daughter in 1995. As unplanned as that was, as unprepared as we were for that, I'm glad I had her to lean on. I'm glad she had my shoulder to lean on.
Right.
We picked out our 17-year-old daughter's coffin. We just done the best we could, but I'm glad we had each other.
Right.
I'm glad we had the Lord.
Yeah,
I mean, He's a very present help in time of trouble, but I'm glad I had her. I was able to get some comfort having someone that close to me during that time of bereavement and despair. That movie, Fireproof, I really like it when she's trying to get that ring on her finger and then she runs to her husband and she says, I'm sorry. He runs to her and said, I'm sorry. And boy, it's a good movie. It's got good morals to it. You know, you're going to have storms in the home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be out there with a baseball bat. And you know, your neighbor's going to be looking. You're just going to have to eat a little crows, all I know, Dave.
That's right.
How many buddy make your messages got said, if you know what I mean. But anyway, that's a good movie, Fireproof. And, you know, a lot of marriages like that, they're kind of tough. You have to ride them out, amen.
Amen.
Whoso findeth a wife, Proverbs 18:22 says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I hate to read this, but these men need to hear it. Her price is far above rubies. Proverbs 31:10, I'm still making payments on mine.
Yeah.
I give her money, Brother Ed. The government gives her money. And she still robbed me blind. I was sitting there thinking when she started going that Social Security check, I thought, got some relief here. And she said, I need some money. I said, okay, how about 20? That's a start. You know what? Pick you like a vulture. Pick you clean. Her price is 500 rupees.
Amen.
You know what? A good man, he won't complain. Matter of fact, that kind of really gives him fulfillment, gives him worth, gives him meaning, because he's the provider.
Right.
Now let me describe the home. If a home's where it needs to be, The husband is the head of the home. That's why his shoulders are so wide.
That's right.
And the wife is second in command. So when I leave, she's in command. She's the head. And when I go home, she steps down. And it don't always work that way, but that's the way it ought to work. And not only that, you have to forbear one another. She's got her days, I've got mine. We just have to learn how to put up each other. But in the right home, the husband should be the head of the home. He should be the priest of the home. He should be the one that offers up prayers to God. I do that for our home. I prayed this morning for my wife. If she knew what I prayed for her this morning, she'd be sitting. Well, she might be sitting inside Joanne, but she'd be here. That's about all I can do.
Yeah.
I do my part.
Yeah.
I pray, I provide, I protect, and I'm the high priest of the home. I go to God on behalf of my family.
Yes.
I say, Lord, I want you to bless my wife, help her with her health, help her with her hurts, help her to get better, and pray for my son, Lord, help that thick head, he just like me, help him get a job, and offer up prayers, help my daughter, which I'll be taking her today, get some groceries. I was out of town yesterday, went to Tennessee twice yesterday. I would have took her yesterday, but I'm going to take her to get some groceries today. But I pray for them granddaughters.
Amen.
You know what that youngest one did to me, Joanne? She came up to me, she said, Pop, you're getting kind of old. She said, Mandy's getting kind of old. Y'all care to leave this place to me? I really like it. I said, well, honey, there's one ahead of you, our son. I said, if something happens to him and something happens to us, it's all yours, baby. I want you. Yeah, you can have it. I was kind of glad she asked, though. I'd rather ask, get a gun, kill us both, and try to take it. You know what I mean? That's the way the world operates.
Yes, it is.
They think they can take it by force.
Right.
They think they can get away with murder. And I'll tell you what, buddy, a lot of them think they can, but no one of them will. I'll tell you right now, it's a poor man the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Got to make it right one way or another. But her price is far above rubies. God gave Adam a body. God gave Adam a breath. God gave Adam a bride. And then God gave Adam a blessing.
Yes.
I'll take him all day long.
Yeah, that's right.
But in Genesis chapter 1, where it's talking about when he originally created everything, we're reading now about the description of the creation. Where God created them, male and female created he them. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, and to you it shall be for meat. And I don't want to read any more. I just want you to know God made them. God blessed them.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to get back on that blessing here in a minute. But God blessed them. And if you'll notice, they didn't have a child one till Genesis chapter 4. Now before Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, I want you to look what Adam said about his wife. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Right. Now, she ain't had a child yet. But you look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. I just want you to know, buddy, that blessing was be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Mentioned also in I believe it's Psalms 127. Seth also was born to him, Genesis 4:25. I didn't write that scripture down, but I'm pretty sure it's Psalms 127. And I want to give these scriptures out so people can look them up.
Yeah.
Psalm 127, verse 3. Little children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. That's that blessing. God put that blessing upon them, and I'll get on that here in a minute. And like I said, God called His wife's name Eve because she is the mother of all living. God desires to bless all, and He's rich unto all that call upon Him. Romans 10:12. Me and Donnie was talking about this yesterday. And to the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, He's rich unto them. Verse 13, Romans 10:13.
Right.
God gave that blessing to Adam and Eve that they could be fruitful, that they could multiply. But I want you to know that didn't happen until God gave the burden. God gave Adam a body, a bread, a bride, a blessing, and He gave him a burden.
Right. Amen.
You can find that burden. Verse 16 of Genesis chapter 3. Now God had told them, I guess you could say He gave them a warning of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat.
Yeah.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's in Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now look, they did the unthinkable, and after they'd done it, had their blame game. Adam said, that woman gave me, I did eat. And that woman said, that serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. I just want you to know it came with a burden, and the burden upon the woman was mentioned here. And unto the woman He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Then He gave a burden to Adam, and unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat, till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return, or shalt thou return. I want you to know that burden. God gave Adam a warning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? That didn't change. Now Jesus mentioned a bunch of Pharisees. Matthew chapter 15 verse 6. He rebuked them. And He said that they make the commandment of God of none effect by their tradition. But it was a commandment. They tried to ignore the commandment through tradition. They tried to ignore what thus saith the Word of God. Look, we ought to give the most earnest heed, because God doesn't change.
That's right.
His Word doesn't change. We have the Word of God. We have the God that gave us the Word of God. If any man lack wisdom, the Bible said, let him ask of God. Giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not. I want you to know, God gave us everything we need to succeed.
Right.
Adam knew better.
Mm-hmm.
Eve knew better. But the devil found that weak link. And all he did was change one word. He said, you shall not surely die, and that's all it took. Somebody said, why are you so dogmatic about the King James Bible? I'll tell you why I am. I asked last week, I heard about a child evangelistic effort, and I'm praising God for it. But I did call up there and ask Brother David, the guy was there with him. I said, would you mind asking him if they use the King James Bible? And oh boy, did I ever open up a can of worms. I didn't mean it like it came across. I wasn't wanting controversy. I wasn't wanting confrontation. I just wanted to know if they used the King James Bible. And he said, no, Brother David, we don't, we can't. And look, I don't have no problem with that. I can put that in the category like Paul said. Some preach Christ for envy and some for strife.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, Christ is preached. Paul said, I became all things to all men. I might by some means save some. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, there's nothing that can compare with the King James Bible.
Right.
I only wanted to ask. I didn't really want to cause a problem. I hope I didn't. And I'd be quick to apologize if I did. I didn't want a problem. I just wanted to ask if they used the King James Bible. I'll tell you why I'm so dogmatic about the King James Bible. When I first got saved, I didn't have enough sense to blow my nose concerning the Bible. And I started reading the Bible. Nothing. See, God's holy, fellas. His Word's holy. Mm-hmm. Now I'm saved, I'm holy because of Him. And I need the holy thing. So I've got another holy thing, Word of Man. And matter of fact, I started out with living Bible and it wasn't alive. I'll tell you right now it wasn't. I went with the Amplified Bible and it wasn't amplified. I went with the American Standard and it stunk like the toilet. And I went with the New World Translation or something. That's probably that Jehovah's Witness Bible. But anyway, can't remember the next Bible. I had about six Bibles and none of them. I mean, nothing. It's empty. Nothing. Somebody at work seen me reading the Bible. Come by and said, what are you reading that? I said, I'm reading the Bible. He said, let me see it. And I don't remember which one it was I was reading at that time. They'd been New International Version. I don't know. I just know this. He said, throw that away.
Yeah.
Get your real Bible. Boy, thank God for men like that.
Yeah.
His name was Mike Gibson. We call him Hoot Gibson.
Amen.
He said, go get you a King James Bible. Now, I'm like a kid in a candy store, Brother Jerry. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I told my wife, I said, if you don't care, honey, get me one of them King James Version Bibles. She went and got me a King James Version Bible, okay? And just as soon as I opened it up, the light came on.
Amen.
Path of the just is as a shining light that shineth
Amen.
More and more
yeah.
under the perfect yes. day.
Yeah.
The entrance of His Word gives light. I'm a child of light. He's light. His Word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I want you to know when I opened up the King James Bible, I realized that the God's Word was real.
Yeah.
I realized that God was real. I'm telling you, buddy, it goes hand in hand. If you're spiritual, you need spiritual
food. That's right.
Look, I wouldn't put them down. They're dealing with children. I wouldn't put them down for nothing. I'm glad for any effort to reach young people. They're trying to get to them for the devil and the world does. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
It'd be
Amen.
Even better if they could use the
right.
King James Bible.
Amen.
But like I said, at least they're trying. I ain't going to put nobody down for trying. As for me, I'll tell you right now, you won't never see me with anything but a King James Bible if you put that in your pipe and smoke it. I know the difference.
Oh, yeah.
I've been
Amen.
I'll tell you this much. It's kind of sad. I read my Bible through that year. I got saved April 27, 1988, and I finished out that year reading the King James Bible all the way through. When I read that Bible all the way through, a man come up to me that I worked with. He is a Mormon. He said, Eddie, I heard you read the Bible all the way through. I said, that's right. His name was Dalton. I said, that's right, Dalton. He said, well, I got something I want to give you. I still got it. He said, I want to give this to you. I've kind of got it really for all the wrong reasons. I got it to show people what not to do. But he wrote in there a big long testimony, this long. He said, Eddie, I've read this all the way through, and I've read the Bible all the way through, and they go hand in hand. Now the Bible talks about trying the spirits and no lies of the truth and all that. Well, anyway, I didn't know no better. I just got saved. I just read my Bible through. I'm still a babe in Christ. Growing, but not where I need to be yet. I didn't pray over it. I went home. My wife was, at that time, we was very busy for God. And we need to be more busy even now. But she was staying with a sick, elderly lady trying to help her. I'm home with the kids. I put the babies to bed. And I go fall on my bed, Brother Jerry. And I open up this Book of Mormon. And the first thing you'll read in the Book of Mormon, you'll read the testimony of Joseph Smith, how an angel came to him and told him where these golden tablets were and to go dig them up, and he did. And the angel gave him the translation, and he wrote it down as the angel translated to him. And I hate to admit this, I swallowed that hook, line, and sinker.
Mm.
See, like Eve, that serpent beguiled me.
Right.
I was told it went hand in hand with the Word of God.
Yeah.
Look, you need to pray about things like that.
That's right.
I'm glad God intervened. As I'm laying on that bed, Brother Ed, God's my witness, y'all look at me. As I started reading the content of that Book of Mormon, God spoke to me and said, why aren't you reading my Word, boy?
Yeah.
Oh boy. You can't imagine
Amen.
The fear that come up on me.
Amen.
I closed that Book of Mormon, I didn't look up. I said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I said, it was told me that it was your word. I said, I am so sorry. I said, please forgive me. Please help me never make another mistake like this. So help me God. I went through 7 days and the word of God wasn't alive. Might as well have been reading the Daily Times, Phyllis.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's right.
It might as well have been blank pages, but after those 7 days, God opened his word back up to me. And I have to admit, I was getting no dump truck loads. But I'll tell you what, buddy. God is a reward of those that diligently seek him.
That's right.
But you'll have to go to where he is to find him. He was not in that Book of Mormon. I went and told that man. I told him, I said, Dalton, I said, I was reading that book. I said, God spoke to me as I was reading it and said that wasn't his word. He said, why aren't you reading my word? Dalton, I'm going to try to make this as real as I can to you. We had ladders beside these printing presses. Dalton grabbed hold of one of those ladders and he's shaking like this right here. I said, what's wrong with you, Dalton? And he was getting pale. He died within 2 weeks. Died. I went to the hospital to visit him. He wouldn't even look at me. He looked straight up the ceiling. I said, Dalton, you know better. He wouldn't even look at me. What did I could do? I watched him die.
Amen.
He was in his 30s. Just like it.
That's right. Amen.
That's terrible. All right. Jesus rebuked those Pharisees. He said they was trying to make the commandment of God to none effect by their tradition. There are people that do you the same way.
Oh yeah.
Right.
God had gave Adam warning. It didn't change. They paid dearly for that mistake. You know why God made them fruitful? Because they wasn't going to live forever. That's why.
Right.
God said, be fruitful. You read about it.
Yeah.
Adam died.
Amen.
You see, if God hadn't blessed them, if God hadn't said, be fruitful, mankind would have ended.
Yeah.
When Adam and Eve died. God had a long-term plan, Rita.
Yeah, that's right.
He said, one day we'd be here in their stead. And he said, I'll bless them just like I blessed him. And I'll get them all home one way or another.
That's right.
Man, I'm glad one got my way, Mitchell. Glad he got my way. I told Donnie yesterday I was on my way to hell. And I said, I'd have made it, but one got in the way.
Yeah,
I couldn't find a way around him.
Amen.
Praise God, he was there to
bless
help me. I didn't know it.
Bless
him. I might not have understood it, but I'm glad he helped me understand. I'm glad he helped me get saved. And I'm glad he's even helped me even today. But look at here. God gave Adam a body, a breath, a bride, a blessing. Then God had to give Adam a burden because Adam didn't heed the warning of God. You know what? Nothing's changed. It really hadn't. Same's true today. You and me. God's given us a body, a breath. Like my pastor said, you know you're in trouble when they jerk you up and spank you on the behind.
That's right.
And then God gave me a bride. God gave us a blessing.
Yeah.
We still got 2 kids.
Yeah.
You know, when you read about Job, he didn't lose none. He only had 10 at the end. God said he had twice as much to begin. That tells him he didn't lose them first 10 either.
That's right.
Do the math on that.
Amen.
Twice times 10 is 20, ain't it?
Yeah.
He may have just mentioned 10, but he still had that first 10.
That's right.
They just went to be with the Lord, amen. Well, I'm glad God does things the way he does things.
Yeah, right.
Man has messed up everything God's ever done. Man's been the biggest problem God's ever had.
Yeah.
You read in Genesis chapter 6, and it grieved God that he made man on the earth.
Right.
He said the imagination of his heart's only evil continually. God repented that he didn't make man. But he didn't give up.
Man.
Noah found grace.
Right.
Well, he wasn't the only one found grace.
Right. Oh,
Eddie found grace.
That's right.
Mitchell found grace.
Amen.
Donnie found grace.
Yeah.
Joanne found grace. Rita found grace. Ed and Karen.
Right.
Phyllis. Jared. Carolyn. Tammy. I don't know about Landon, but he's young enough, it probably doesn't matter. You see, there comes an age that you know
Yeah.
Bible said to him that knoweth to do good, to do it not, to him that sin. There's a time that you know you're doing wrong.
That's right.
And when you know you're doing wrong, and then you do it, you're no longer innocent.
That's right.
Then you're accountable for that wrong you did. Y'all understand that?
Yeah. Yes.
You can be 50 years old and be innocent.
That's right.
If he was born, amen, you know, kind of retarded or something.
Right.
But that day that I knew I was doing wrong, and I went ahead and did it, I became accountable.
That's right.
For that act. That's how sin comes in the world. God told Cain, he said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? He said, behold, sin lieth at the door.
That's right.
Sin wants in. If it comes in, you'll be a servant to it. And Jesus will have to set you free from it, because it'll never set, it'll never let you go. It'll never loose its grip from you until Jesus sets the captives free. Father, we thank you for the message today. I'm glad you give us everything that we need.
Yes.
I could have said God gave Adam a Bible, because that word you gave him was the same thing as the Word of God. You told him of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. I don't know why anyone couldn't be satisfied with that. But then you said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That should have been sufficient. That was Adam's Bible. I guess that'd be a good message to preach sometime. I pray you bless, Lord, your children. Keep us, I pray, in your will, in your house, and in your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand, if Brother Jerry would, please. One verse of invitational hymn. I never know what God's doing. I'm just a messenger boy. And I have no idea. It's yet to be seen what God can do.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, I want him to do whatever he wants to do. If he don't want to do nothing, I'm okay with that too. But if God wants to do something, let him have his way.
Amen. Number 203.